your Bibles tonight and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Thank you so much for that special. That one of the first times I ever heard that song was in youth choir. And that was one of the first songs that our youth choir ever sang. And that brings back some memories. It's been a while since I've heard that, but that was a blessing. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, as you're turning there this evening, just say that we had an activity yesterday with the teenagers. It was a scavenger hunt activity. And boy, those type of activities are just wide open. You never know what can happen on a scavenger hunt activity. But thankfully, we didn't lose anybody. We didn't leave anybody. And nobody got hit or run over or anything like that. So that's always a success. But Lord gave us a great activity. We had about four visitors. That was a blessing. And a good number of teenagers. And I have a number of you often come up and just say, how's the youth department doing? And, you know, all of that. And I just want to thank you for praying for us. Just give you a little update there about how things are going. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I want us to start off reading here. We're going to read down through verse number 10. And look at a particular portion of Scripture that when you think about hard times, when you think about Scriptures that maybe bring comfort to our soul, maybe the Lord has brought you to this passage. And I want us to start reading in verse 1 here. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 says this: "It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise, and he heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter." And then in verse 5, he kind of switches gears a little bit. He says, "Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities." Verse 6, "For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." Verse 8, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." And then verse 10, "Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." About a month ago, I started a series on leaning on Christ in the youth department, and we specifically looked at leaning on Christ for salvation. Well, 2 weeks ago, I sort of brought that series into Sunday evening church, and we looked at leaning on Christ for success. And if I may tonight, I'd like us to look at this particular theme based out of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, leaning on Christ for strength. Leaning on Christ for His strength. Let's pray and ask God's blessing on the Word of God tonight. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank You that we can be here together, Father, among each other, and Lord, with You. Lord, I pray that as we look here, Father, at some very straightforward words, Father, some very contrite and honest words from the Apostle Paul, Lord, I pray, God, that, Lord, that You would do something special with those words. Father, may they resonate in our hearts. Lord, may we open ourselves and be honest before You. And Father, I pray that in our minds it would not just be, Lord, Sunday night church, but Father, it would be, Father, something that we are engaged in and that we are very much a part of, Lord. We love you and ask that you'd meet with us, we pray, in your precious name. Amen. Leaning on Christ for strength. If you're taking notes tonight, I want us to notice the first thing here. We won't go verse by verse, but we will pick out a few verses in this portion of Scripture. But notice with me verses 7 and 8 specifically. The first thing, if we are going to lean on Christ for strength, number one, we need to understand or recognize our weaknesses. And the Apostle Paul is very straightforward in this. Notice the language that he uses starting in verse 7. He says, "Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." The Apostle Paul here is opening sort of a window into his life, and he's not presenting himself as someone who never struggles or has a weakness of any type, but he's being honest and he's saying, hey, you know, there's a point in my life that there was a thorn in the flesh. I love the word picture there that we can all maybe identify with. If you've ever maybe worked with a piece of wood or something and you've had something of greater or lesser value that's kind of maybe gotten stuck underneath your skin. And boy, it can be irritating. And certainly if we would leave that there, it can cause great infection and escalate to a lot of other things. But he tells us here, hey, there was a weakness in my life. Now, there are different weaknesses that you and I can have as Christians, and the one that he appears to be talking about is a physical weakness. I want you to just turn with me for just a second to Galatians chapter 4. There are a lot of people, much more scholarly than I am, who have done much more extensive study on the matter. But at any rate, there are some that would say that his weakness was found in these passages. Galatians chapter 4 in verse 13, we notice a couple of things here. Whether this is his weakness or not that he's referring to in 2 Corinthians, I don't know. But notice here, he mentions a weakness that he had. Verse 13 of Galatians chapter 4, it says, "Ye know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first." Then drop down to verse 15 here. It says, "Where is there the blessedness you spake of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me." So many people have gone on to say that maybe the Apostle Paul here, the weakness that he was discussing and mentioning to the Corinthian believers in chapter 12 of 2 Corinthians was this thing of his eyesight. Maybe it had progressively, as he had gotten older, gotten worse and become a hindrance to his ministry. And he takes this to the Lord. It's a physical weakness of his. You know, the Apostle Paul was honest enough to say that he was a man that had some weaknesses. How many of us have ever found ourselves in the position before in which we had a little bit more pride concerning maybe an area of our life than we'd like to admit, and maybe we weren't as quick to recognize a specific need or verbalize a need in our lives. I remember this happened to me not too long ago. This was actually just before we moved to Virginia. In the midst of, you know, getting the truck to move out of the house and getting, you know, all the packing done and all of that, we got this massive truck that we barely fit all of our stuff. I don't know how we accumulated so much stuff in the 4 years we've been married. But anyway, we bought the biggest U-Haul truck that we could get. And the road that we lived on was small and it was narrow. To kind of give you an idea about this, you know, if I was in maybe an SUV or something and I'm coming down the road and somebody else was coming from the other direction and maybe just a four-door compact car, if we were going to pass each other, somebody would have to kind of pull over to the side to let the other one pass. So that's kind of how narrow it was. So it was about 10 o'clock at night, I guess it was, and I just fueled up the truck and I had brought it back and I was going to have to back the truck into our driveway there that was narrow as well. And so I kind of sat there on our road, you know, 10 o'clock at night, and I'm kind of mapping this all out. I'm like, okay, how am I going to maneuver this in here? And the good thing was that right across from our house, there was our neighbors across the street actually had a driveway as well, though it was narrow. And so I envisioned pulling into their driveway and then just backing right up into ours. I mean, in my mind, it was the perfect scenario. And, you know, I didn't have a CDL at the time, but that didn't matter. You know, this is a big truck. I can handle it. So what I did do is I said, all right, the only thing I'm concerned about is the back of the vehicle. It's pretty long, and, you know, I just don't want to back into the house we're leaving. You know, it'd be a terrible thing. And so I asked Christina, my wife, to come out and to spot me back there. And I said, well, you know what, you can spot the back. I'll be fine, but you can just kind of look and wave at me if there's a problem. And so I got in the vehicle, and, I pulled into that person's driveway, and there was actually a tree that was kind of hanging over. So in the meantime of watching the back of the vehicle and watching their narrow driveway and watching this tree that's hanging over I'm trying to stay away from, I went ahead and began to back up the vehicle. Okay, and so I begin backing up, and I'm noticing that I'm not getting it quite right. And so I at that point, I say, all right, I need to make an adjustment here. So I kind of pull forward a little bit, and I'm watching the mirrors, and all of a sudden I see my wife just kind of waving at me, you know, from the back, doing this number. And I'm like, what is she doing? I'm fine. I see the mirrors. The mailbox is over there. The fence is on the other side. I'm certainly not close enough to the house. What is she waving for? So I went ahead and all right, whatever. And so I positioned it again, and, you know, I kind of worked it around. And by this time, she is like running towards me, arms waving, and I stop and put it in park. What is the issue here? You know, and she says, you need to look at this. Boy, my heart sank right about at that moment. And I went ahead and opened the door, and I got out. And if you've ever lived in Florida, you understand that the grass, many times it's sporadic in yards and sand underneath. Well, I had kind of moved off of the narrow driveway of my neighbors, and those thick, big wheels had dug very nicely into their front yard and were buried about a foot in sand. So I got out and I took a look at that, and I just about died. Here I am. This truck is blocking the road. Okay? The back end is in my driveway, and the other end is in these people's front yard. And I'm thinking to myself, how am I going to get out of this one? Thankfully, I was able to get back in. I was so worried I was going to get stuck. I couldn't even see how they were going to tow me. There was no room to do anything. They would have had to take the truck apart piece by piece, probably. But anyway, I was able to get back into my driveway. But the horror of the way that yard looked was just terrible. Can I tell you something? There was not 1 ounce of pride in my being of the ability to maneuver that truck anymore. Okay, I thought I completely had it covered, but you know what? That was a weakness that was just exposed, and there's no way I was going to say, "Well, I got this. All right, this is I can handle this." Now, that's the illustration. But for sake of you who are going to sit there and wonder what happens at the end of this story, I will just say this: the person worked night shift. I was able to transplant a lot of my backyard to theirs. All by cover of darkness, and I had a friend that helped me do it. I was so worried I was going to have to pay for this guy's lawn job. He got back the next day just before we left to drive up here, and I went over, you know, knocked on his door, said, hey, I had this little problem last night. I don't know if you noticed when he came home from work last night, and he walked out and looked at it and said, I don't notice anything, and walked back in. So the Lord protected me and all of that, but you know what? Hey, you know, there are times that we have weakness. And sometimes we don't like to identify it. We don't like to maybe even talk about it. The Apostle Paul says, hey, this isn't something that I'm running from. This is something that I'm being very honest about. This was something that was a thorn in my flesh. And there was a weakness in his life. Sometimes we have emotional weakness. Psalm 147, verse 3 talks about our emotions. He says that he healeth the brokenhearted and bindeth up the wound. Sometimes we have emotional weakness. You know, sometimes we have just in general spiritual weakness. I'm reminded of the words in Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us, groanings which cannot be uttered. When we fall short in knowing even how to communicate to the Lord is even there to help in our spiritual weakness. You know, if we're going to learn to lean on Christ for His strength, the first thing that we have to do and identify is, hey, there are some weaknesses that we sometimes have in our lives. But notice the second thing with me here is not only should we understand our weakness, and this is the exciting part and the part that I enjoy talking about, is this: we need to understand the amazing power of God. Notice with me here in verse 9. He moves down through speaking of the thorn in the flesh here, but then he starts in verse 9 and he gives the response of the Lord to this weakness in his life, this infirmity. He says in verse 9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I read this quote here this week. It says this: God's grace is sufficient for whatever our need may be. The concept of grace is more than just unmerited favor regarding salvation. It is also the ongoing strength and help of God throughout the course of the Christian life. Whatever the need or crisis may be, His grace is more than sufficient for it. I love the progression of Scripture here. Look in verse 10, because the Apostle Paul is about to list some things that we can count on God's grace for. Look at this list here in verse 10. It says, therefore, I take pleasure, notice what he says, in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. And before we look at that and say, well, isn't that all the same thing? Not really here. He's talking about different things. The word there, infirmities, has the idea of a weakness from maybe sickness or disease. God's grace can meet that need. Notice the next word, he says reproaches. This can even be a haughtiness or pride. This can be maybe a sin problem or a sin area of our life. Is God's grace sufficient enough to meet even the need of maybe a struggle with sin in our lives? Absolutely, Paul says. Notice the next thing, not only reproaches, but necessities, deprivation or poverty. Maybe we have a financial need in our life or lacking a necessity. God's grace is sufficient for that. He mentions persecutions. Boy, that would have resonated with some of those believers of that day, would it not? He mentions also as well distress. This has the idea of dire straits or great difficulty. You see the progression here as everything kind of leads up to persecutions and then even great distress. You know, the Apostle Paul is trying to communicate to these Corinthian believers and to us as well that no matter how small an infirmity or a weakness may be in our lives, God's grace has the ability to meet that. And no matter how great that weakness or that need is in our life, God's grace and His power and His strength has the ability to even meet that need, whatever it is. Understand God's power. And because of these things, we notice that the results of God's power is strength. Verse 10, these are things that he's going to choose because of his weakness. Because of his weakness, he's not going to continually down himself about it and remain in that mindset, but he's going to turn it another way and he's going to say, Lord, I'm going to allow you, because of this infirmity or weakness in my life, I'm going to allow the power of Christ to shine through me. And he gives us a principle here that sometimes it doesn't make sense to our human brain. You know, we think in ourselves, boy, I am at my strongest when I am strong physically. You know, when I feel the sharpest and maybe when I feel the most energetic or fit. But he gives us a principle that sort of goes against that when he says this. The end of verse 10, look at it. He says, for when I am weak, then am I strong. Paul understood how leaning on Christ did not make him weak, but it made him stronger. We ought to understand our weakness, but see and understand God's power. Notice with me the third thing. Practically speaking, when we talk about leaning on Christ for strength, how can we do that? Practically speaking, let me give you three things tonight. And we see it mentioned here starting in verse 9. But notice with me this. We ought to realize, He is there for us. What does Paul say here in verse 8? He discovers this thorn in the flesh and he begins to talk to the Lord about it. It's not like the Lord is distant, but in verse 9, rather, the Lord is right there and says, "My grace is sufficient for thee." We have to understand that if we're going to lean on Christ, all we have to do is turn to him because he's right there for us. There are so many things in this life that are not that way. Some of you know that my wife and I, we've been looking for a house, doing a lot of house hunting here and there, making visits and all that. A lot of our looking we do online. And every now and then, you know, real estate agents will call us and say, "Hey, we got this." But a lot of it has been on kind of our own online searching and that sort of thing. And a couple of weeks ago, I saw a house that was listed. I began looking at the pictures. And I thought, well, it meets this criteria and it's in this price range. And boy, all of this looks good. And then I turned back to the first page and I saw some words that just sunk my heart. Coming soon. And then it gave the date. 3 weeks away. I said, how in the world do you put something on the market and then put coming soon? The heartache. We need something now. You know what, though? When we go to the throne room of heaven, there's not a one time that we enter into his presence that we see a sign hung over the throne saying coming soon. Or even a sign that would say, be back later. Or even a sign that maybe would say relocated. You know, how many of you have gone to a store before thinking, oh, I got to get in here and relocated signs on there? Happened this week to us. But, you know, that's not the case with God, because when we think about leaning on him for strength, all we have to do is understand that, boom, he is right there, ready to bear the weight of our burden. And that ought to encourage all of our hearts tonight. Realize, first of all, that he is there for us. I'm always encouraged by the words of Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 24. Faithful is he who called you, that called you, who also will do it. Not only realize that he is there for you to lean on, but also number two, we ought to give more focus to the leaning instead of ourself. A simple verse that we all know is Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. We're not to lean upon the flesh, which is our default, isn't it? I mean, that's the thing that just comes so easily. Our default is worry, and our default is, you know, concern, and we just sort of kind of go down that path naturally. But the Apostle Paul wants us to rather have the idea of not leaning towards the flesh, but actively choosing to lean upon the Lord. Well, what does that mean in practical terms? That means, Lord, what can I do right now in regards to this weakness or this situation, this thorn in my life that will show you that I'm leaning upon you? Maybe that's in the form of simply going to your knees and spending an amount of time in prayer about that specific need. And maybe just verbalizing that need to the Lord. Maybe it's taking a little bit of extra time to quiet your soul and your heart and open God's Word, and maybe a time that you typically wouldn't, and just sit down and show the Lord how important it is that you receive some of that grace from his hands. You know, maybe it's a taking the focus so much of off of that situation and looking to maybe be a blessing to somebody else. Actively choosing to lean on him instead of our default, which is our self. And then this is perhaps the last and the final thought here tonight, but so important. We also ought to be grateful for the involvement that he has and the desire he has to meet the needs that we have. Boy, that's a staggering thought. Boy, the God of the universe, who knows all and sees all, would take the time for my seemingly thorn in the flesh that maybe I'm the only one that knows about it. The thought that he would see that and say, boy, that's important to me. And I want my grace to be sufficient for you. Boy, that ought to make all of our hearts skip an extra beat, that the Lord would love us that much. And because of that love, we ought to be grateful to him. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. You know, I was thinking about this. When God brought Israel out of Egypt, out of Egyptian bondage, instead of praising God continually, they began to complain. You know, that complaining would lead to ungratefulness that would then lead to rebellion against God. And really, ultimately, they'd even get to a point where they refused even to go in the land that He had prepared for them. And that's why being grateful and thankful that the God would even think to look to our needs is so important. There have been many great Christians who have learned to lean on the Lord in a variety of ways. I like to read Christian biographies, and one that I was looking into not long ago was that of Corrie ten Boom. Some of you may know her testimony, but if you don't, her and her sister, Betsy, were sent to a Nazi concentration camp because her family hid Jews during World War II. Betsy died in that camp, but Corrie, however, was released. And after the war, she spent the rest of her life traveling around the world telling people about God's love and giving testimony about how the Lord's grace was sufficient. But she's noted as saying several things, one of which is one of my favorite quotes, and I want to give this to you tonight. She said this: never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. I want to read that one more time and let that sit in. Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. You know, there's no possible way that you and I could know the future of our lives, but we do know a God whose grace is all sufficient for it. Are you leaning on Christ for His strength tonight? I pray that we do. Every head bowed and every eye closed this evening. Not a long challenge by any stretch, but I would venture to say a challenge maybe that affects all of us. There's not a person in this room tonight, or a person in the world for that matter, who doesn't have some type of need in their life. And we have been just so privileged to know the one that can meet any need that we have and give the grace to sustain. I wonder tonight, is there an area of your life maybe that we've had a little bit of pride in and thought, well, I don't really need help in this area, but maybe truthfully you do. Maybe you need to turn that over to the Lord. Have you given that need, that weakness that maybe impacts you so often during the week? Have you given that to the Lord? Are you actively looking for ways that you can give it to Him and lean upon Him instead of your own flesh? Heavenly Father, tonight we love You. And Lord, we're thankful for the instruction You gave us in 2 Corinthians. And Lord, such powerful words, Father. I know I have not exhausted them. But Lord, more than anything, I pray, God, that we would have in our hearts, Lord, as we leave this place tonight, Lord, that no matter what our need is, Your grace is available and can meet it. We love You and ask that You'd work in this invitation time. We pray in Your precious name. Amen.